Welcome to Tony Broom Ministries, where you'll always hear the old-time teaching and preaching of God's Holy Word. Here's a sermon from Psalms 115, entitled, Our God.
I'm here to encourage you today. Even if you don't see change, even if you have prayed for your loved ones, it seems to do no effect. Sometimes it seems to have the opposite effect. The more we pray, the meaner they seem to get. That's all right. At least you're stirring up the hornet's nest a little bit. Do not quit. Do not give up. Keep on keeping on. Because our God is faithful. He will not fail us. He will not forsake us. There's no God like our God. The song said there's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like our God. Amen. The new song said there is no God like our God. He is a God all by himself. Psalm 115 is about our God. He is contrasted against the dumb, idle gods of this world. The thought for the message is, there is no God like our God. There's no God like Jehovah. Jehovah is the Lord. He is our God. God says this about himself in Isaiah chapter 44, verse 6, and the last part of verse 8. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. When God says the King of Israel and his Redeemer, Israel's Redeemer, but it's also, if you think about it, when it says the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. This is the Father and the Son coming together as one, as they always are, of course. And God is saying, I am saying this, and my Son is here to back me up. And my Son is agreeing with this, and I'm here to back him up. This is the Lord, the King of Israel, says, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last. If he's the first and the last, that means he's everything in between. From everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. I am the first and I am the last. Jesus said the same thing. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. I am the first, I am the last, and beside me there is no God. Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any. God is saying to us, if there's any other God, of course there's not, but in our way of speaking, he's saying, I don't know any other God. If there's another God, I wish somebody would show him to me because I don't know who it is. There is no other God. Is there a God beside me? I know not any. And this Isaiah 44, I don't like to give older people homework assignments. This is not a homework assignment because you don't have anything to turn back in, but your assignment for yourself this week is to get you a nice cup of coffee or iced tea, whatever you like, and get Isaiah 44 and read it real slow. Don't allow the King James language to intimidate you. You've grown up with this Bible. You know it. You understand it. And read Isaiah 44, and it will talk to you about how dumb, how ridiculous it is to make idol gods. God tried to reason with his people. Now, I'll let you read that chapter for yourself. But the Lord will use me for a few minutes to try to paraphrase from that chapter. And God is saying, you go out there and you raise up trees. You go in the forest and you take down a tree. You look at it and you consider it and you get that special tree, that cypress wood that's supposed to be real good, the ash tree. And you go out there and you pick you a special tree and you take that tree and you cut it down and you use part of it to start a fire and you take that which you have taken, your meat, and you roast your meat. You make you something good to eat. You bake you some bread on the fire, and you have a good dinner. You sit down and you enjoy your dinner, and you stoke the fire up a little bit more, and you get yourself nice and warm, and you say, oh, that feels good. The fire feels good. I'm warm. I can see the fire. God says, you've done all that, and will you take the rest of this tree, and will you make you a god out of it and bow down to the stock of a tree? Don't you realize how foolish this is? You've taken a tree, you've cut it down, you've started a fire with it, you've made your dinner with it, and you're going to use the residue of it to bow down to something who cannot hear you, to something that you have cut down, that you have burned, that you have done what you wanted to do with it, and you're going to bow down and say, help me, be my God, deliver me. You say, boy, that is kind of crazy, isn't it? No more crazy than what the United States of America is doing today. We say, man, come bond with me. Be my husband. You don't know whether to call him husband or wife because it's a man or a woman and a woman. You say, kill my baby. It doesn't matter. It's just a thing. United States of America, 62 million babies have been killed. We make fun of people worshiping idols, and we're in a whole lot worse shape than they are. We're bowing down to the medical society. We're bowing down to the things of this world, saying, be my God, you can deliver me. They don't even know how to deliver themselves. God said, there's no God but me. There's no God. I don't know any other God. So back to Psalm 115. The first three verses of Psalm 115 are about our God. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory. I give Brother Greg now. Give him glory. Unto your name give glory. God is the only one who deserves the glory and the honor and the praise. Not unto us, but unto your name give glory. For thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. God is the only one who can have mercy. There is so little mercy in our world today. I'm not a bearer of bad news, but it's pitiful when a worker, a lady worker, can say something to a man, a young man, about not having a mask on, and the young man can leave the premises, get him a gun, go back there and shoot the woman, be confronted by an off-duty deputy. He shoots the deputy, who in turn shoots him. That's three people who's gotten shot over some dumb thing like a face covering. That you have to confront someone who still has protocol in place that you have to wear one. And instead of saying, well, excuse me, I'll go get one, or give me one, or I'll leave and go somewhere else, he leaves and goes and gets a gun and comes back and shoots her. This is what you call merciless. This is not merciful, this is merciless. God is the only one to be praised because he is full of mercy, he is full of grace, he is full of truth, and no wonder the song said, thy truth is marching on. He's the only one who really has truth. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. There is no other truth in this world. You may find things that has truth interwoven within it, to some degree, but there is no other truth outside of God's Word. Amen. He is the truth. Yes. His Word is truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy Word is truth. His Word will set you free because the truth will set you free. The truth will set you free. His Word will set you free because the truth will set you free. His mercy, to give glory to his name because of his mercy and for his truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? The scripture said, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The heathen may say, where is your God? If your God is your God, then why is all this evil going on? Where in turn we could say, okay, if our God is not real, if our God is not to be worshipped, then what about your God? Is your God doing anything? You can bow down to him. You can sit him on a shelf. You can look up to him. You can make a picture of a lion. You can make a picture of a bear or a sheep or something. And you can make a man-made picture, a form, a statue. You can bow down to that. Is that God doing anything to help us? Is he doing anything to turn things around in our nation? Sometimes we allow people to say everything in the world about the living and true God, but yet we are the ones who really have it full in our teeth. We could say, man, what about your idol gods? What are they doing to help our situation out? Oh, Baal, hear us. Baal has still not heard anything. You could cry till hell freezes over, and Baal's still not going to hear you. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens. If you want to know where my God is, that's where he is. He's in the heavens. Our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. There is no other God that can do that. God is the only God who does what he pleases, and it always turns out right. It not only turns out right, but it starts out right. It's always right. Our God is the only one who always does what's right. He has done whatsoever he pleased. Now, I've had times in my life when I've done what I please, and I usually ended up getting a whipping for it. Yeah, you can do what you please. It's like our brother praying a while ago. You can do what you please. You can go to the party life. You can hit up on the drugs. You can do all this other stuff. You can do all the fancy wild things and the sparkly shiny things. You can think that's the life. You can do what you want to, but it's a dead-end road. There's a road of no return. It's called the broad way that leads to destruction. Many are going that way. God is the only one who does what he pleases and has always turned out right. No other God can do that. Verses 4 through 7 presents the ridiculous idol gods of this world. And that's why we're talking about Isaiah 44. You can read it, and he will tell you, just take a look at it. Drink a cup of coffee and think about it. How ridiculous this thing is. But the gods of this world, their idols are silver and gold. They may have precious metals involved in it. It may be some precious stones involved in it. It may be some high costly and high priced jewels involved in these idol statues and these gods of this world. And some of them don't stand up erect like humans. Some of them are on four wheels. Some of them have sails behind them. There's all kinds of things that you can make. But they have silver in their gold. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. The difference between these gods and our God is nobody made our God. Our God didn't even make himself. Our God just always was. Our God didn't have to be made. He didn't have to be made because he's the maker. He didn't, Lord have mercy. He didn't have to be created because he's a creator. Glory to his Holy Ghost name. Praise God. He is our God. Nobody had to make him. He's God all by himself. These gods of this world, idol gods, they're silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. I know there are church members like that. They got mouths, but somehow they don't know how to speak. These idols, they have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. This is one of the best, the biggest descriptions. You have references to this made in other Psalms and other places in the Bible, but this is the most meticulous. This is the one that really says it and spells it all out. They have eyes, but they don't see. They have ears, but they can't hear. They have noses, which no olfactory sensory. They can't smell anything. They have hands, but they handle not. They can't do anything with their hands. Feet have they, but they walk not. They have feet and can't even go anywhere. You have to take the thing and sit it where you want it to go. You have to set the thing in the house or in the place where you want it to be. It can't even move itself. You're going to pray to a God who can't even move itself? How can He move a mountain out of your life when He can't even move itself? They have feet, but they cannot walk. Neither speak they through their throats. There's no voice that comes out. There's a big difference between the creator and an engraver or inventor. The second commandment says, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, the earth beneath, waters under the earth, no thing to be formed. He will not make you any picture. He will not make you any graven thing. He will not grave you any image. You will not make yourself any god like this. You will have no other god before me. The engraver is the one who takes his tool and he fashions the god. Israel did it back in Exodus chapter 32. They talked Aaron into forming them a god, and they said, these are thy gods, O Israel, that have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. How dumb can you get? George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, Thomas Jefferson, regardless of the fruitcakes that's on TV now that makes you want to think, tries to make you think that these men were just a bunch of jokers, there was nothing to them. Actually, the ones that are talking to you now are the ones who are a bunch of jokers and nothing to it. Just because they have a big job on the big network, that doesn't make them anything. They try to make you think that Thomas Jefferson was a hypocrite, that Benjamin Franklin didn't know what he was doing. But these forefathers, now they're not saints and super-duper people. They're just folks just like us. But they contributed more to society and more to goodness, more to righteousness, the saints of old. They contributed more to the goodness of mankind and the glory of God than all these other fruitcakes put together. It's like the sanctified version of a Tennessee song, Tennessee Hound Dog. It's like my 23-pound Dachshund. She's got more sense in the end of her nose than they've got in their head. Tennessee Hound Dog. I'm not bashing anybody. I'm just telling the truth, brothers and sisters. There's a big difference between the creator and an engraver or inventor. They're coming up with all these things. They say they're inventions, they help us to do things better, and they help us to be better, but actually they're taking us further and further away from God. Facebook, fake book, F-A-K-E, fake book. They're taking us further and further away from God. People are having civil war, not with guns and bombs anymore, but they're fighting through social media. And is damning our nation and sending people to hell. It's causing families to fall apart. It's causing churches, brothers and sisters who used to be in the same church, they won't even have anything to do with each other anymore because of Facebook, because of Snapchat, because of social media. I say because of that. Actually, it's not the thing, that's just a tool, it's the people behind it. Oh, guns kill people. Take the guns away. No, you better protect the Second Amendment. It's not the guns that kill people. It's the people behind the trigger that kills people. If you take a gun away from him, he'll get a knife, he'll get a bomb, he'll get something. The determining trust factor is seen in verses 8 through 11, and of course we're in Psalm 115, verse 8 through 11. They that make them are likened to them, so is everyone that trusteth in them. The ones who make them are just like them. But you can't stop there. Those who trust in them are just like them too. That's the way it is with the idol gods of this world. That's the way it is with the souped up gods of America and the nations of the world. They might not be seen as an idol standing up, but it does just as much detrimental damage to society and the souls of mankind. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield, helper and protector. Israel speaks to the nation. God's people, Israel, it could be any nation. O Israel, O America, O Israel, trust in the Lord. The nation that was founded on the truth of God, His truth is still marching on, but you got to get back to the truth on which the nation is built. You got to get back to the truth on which the church was built, on which Pentecost came from. The truth is still there, but you got to get back to it. O Israel, O church, O America, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Amen. The help is the only one who will help you and comfort you and be with you. There is no other help in any other God, because all the other gods are dead gods. They're man-made gods. They cannot help you. You'll pay a doctor $500 and go to him and he'll say, I don't know. You won't even get mad at him. But if you come to the preacher and he says, I don't know, oh, they need to fire him. They need to get another one. He ain't charge you anything. The doctor says $500, I don't know. You have to go to another and they'll tell you the same thing. I don't know either. God is the only one who does know. He can help you. He is our helper. He is our protector. He is our shield. The shield is around you to protect you. The buckler and the shield. He is your shield and your buckler. He will deliver you from the snare and the fowler. He will deliver you from the destruction that wastes at noonday. He will deliver you from those who walk in the dark. He will deliver, he will help and protect you. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The house of Aaron speaks to the priesthood. The nation of Israel speaks to the nation. Nationally, we need to get back to trust God. In the priesthood, it speaks of the spiritual part. The church needs to get back to trusting God. If we as a church, not just as an individual church, but the church in general, if we don't trust in the God who founded the church, then we're nothing more than just a civic organization with a name that has a name of a religion attached to it, but it doesn't mean anything. We have social gatherings. The only thing that's missing sometimes is the bugles and the beer. We might as well put Moose Lodge up instead of a Holy Ghost place. When what I'm talking about gets the movement in your life, you don't need no ice cream, you don't need no tea, you don't need anything. All you need is a good old-fashioned altar and a songbook and a flat-top guitar or something that can bring out the music where you can start praising and worshiping God. An old-time preacher with the power of the Holy Ghost and get up and preach the Word of God. That's all you need. He is their help and their shield. Ye that fear the Lord, that's believers, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. We got somebody we can trust in. We got somebody we can believe in. He is called the Lord God Jehovah, God Almighty. Our God is the only one who can bless us and do something about our situation. The last time I checked in, nobody else could do anything about my situation. The Lord can do something about it. Verse 12 to 15. The Lord hath been mindful of us. He knows what you're going through. He has been mindful of us. He's the only one who really cares. He has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord cares about your situation. He's able to do something about the situation that you go through. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. Yeah, but all this is going on in the world. It doesn't matter. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. The enemy can be raging. Fire can be raging all around. But there's a fourth man in the fire. Hallelujah. He's still with us. He has not lost 1 ounce of his power. You are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The one who blesses me is the one who made me. The creator of heaven and earth is our God. Our God is the only God who can have a relationship and fellowship with his worshipers. Try that with any other homemade God. See how much fellowship he'll have with you. See how much relationship he'll have with you. See how much communion he'll have with you when you try to worship him. Verse 16, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth hath he given to the children of men. Don't you let me hear you fall into that thing that says, oh, there might be life on Mars. There might be humans up there. No, there ain't no humans up there. Dude, Jesus had to go up there and die all over again. Jesus came to the earth where humans were. God made man of the dust of the earth, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Man became a living soul. God created men from the earth, for the earth, on the earth, to the earth. Jesus came to the earth. He lived upon the earth. He died on the earth, on the cross, on the earth. When he was resurrected and he ascended into heaven from the earth, and he will come to the earth again. Boy, that's good preaching. He will come to the earth again to rule and reign forever. That settles it as far as I'm concerned about this kooky thing about Mars. Quit watching PBS and CBS and all these other S's. The heavens belong to God. It all belongs to him. The heavens are the Lord's. He takes care of things up there. I'm glad we don't have anything to do with it. We'd be done messed that up. But the heavens belong to the Lord. The heavens are the Lord's. The earth has he given to the children of men. He has allowed us to be here, to breathe his air, to eat his food, to live on his earth, to have this time so we can worship and praise God. What are we going to do with the life, with the time that he's given us? Some people are making a mighty squanderous thing of it. God has given it to us. What are you going to do with it? The dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence. Don't wait for no purgatory, all this. There's no such thing. If you're going to praise God, praise him now while you're living. Don't wait till you die. There's nobody in the sky that will do you any good when you die, unless you die the right way. Yes. If you die right, you can get up right. If you lay down wrong, you're going to get up wrong. If you lay down living like hell, that's where you're going. The preacher won't tell you that. He makes too much money. You need to cut him back somehow or another. Thank God there's some preachers who still tell you that, whether he makes any money or not. Amen. The dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down to silence. That's why we're still alive here today. Because God is not, Jesus even said, God is not the God of the dead, but the living. The God of the living. And we're here alive today because we can still praise God. We will bless the Lord from this time forth and forever. Praise the Lord. It ends with a hallelujah. That's what praise the Lord means. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. The kids sing hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Father, thank you for an awesome opportunity to be in this place today. Thank you for every brother, every sister, every family that's represented. Lord, I pray the blessing of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob on everyone that's represented, everyone that's watching and listening, everyone that's here, everyone that's abroad, wherever, the blessing of God reaches them today. The Lord will bless the house of Aaron. The Lord will bless the house of Israel. The Lord will bless those that fear him, both small and great. We thank you, God, that you are our God. We thank you, God, that our God reigns. We thank you that there is no God like our God. There is no God like Jehovah. And I thank you for revealing yourself to us, and I pray that you would reveal yourself to many people today, our sons, our daughters, our grandchildren, those around us that we don't even know, that you would reveal yourself to them. and they would love you and worship you as their God too. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to the Old Time Preaching from God's Holy Word, Psalms 115. The title has been Our God. There's no God like our God. There's no God like Jehovah. I trust that you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Be sure to make Him your Lord today. This has been a production of Tony Broome Ministries.